are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
When it comes to sharing our faith, hospitality can be our secret weapon. A warm welcome can open hearts and minds in ways that words sometimes can't. By embracing hospitality, we can create safe spaces for conversations about faith, allowing others to experience Christ's love firsthand. So let's discuss with our pastor how hospitality can enhance our evangelism efforts. Mfundisi, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you. I'm blessed indeed.
Indeed. Thank you, Mfundisi, for coming through one last time again this week. Before we start, I'm going to ask that, can you please offer a word of prayer?
We are praying. We thank you, our Lord and our God, for this opportunity you have given us. And we pray that indeed you speak to us the wonderful words of love in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. We have been speaking about all things hospitality, and today we want to look at, you know, hospitality in evangelism, how those two work, or even if they do work together. So Mfundisi, how has hospitality now played a role in our own journey, in your own journey of faith and sharing with others? Have you used hospitality as a form of evangelism?
Yes, indeed, hospitality is a form of evangelism, very much so, extremely. In fact, I must say that when you look at organizations, for example, in our church that deal with hospitality, we call them community service.
Yes.
And you're talking about the Docker Society Community Service, the Adventist Men Organization Community Service, and these two organizations, they are housed by a department called Personal Ministries, which is all about evangelism. So this is surely a very, very good idea, and we have seen it work. Yes, that hospitality can be used as a tool for evangelism. Here is how it works. You realize that when you want to evangelize, many people want to trust somebody who is a friend. Yes, many people want to know, do you really care for them? Or is it that you are only interested in certain results?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you talk of hospitality, it's another way of expressing our love for the community, for the people in the community. It's another way of expressing that, hey, we care. Yes,
yeah.
We care about you. Yeah. Why? Because we care of your cares. Yes. And because of that, it brings now what we could say a bridge instead of a war fence. Okay, so it's a bridge that even those that could not be reached, now they'll be reached because of hospitality. So indeed, it can be used for evangelism. What is evangelism? Maybe that's where we should begin. Evangelism is all about witness. It's all about saying, hey, do you know what? I met Jesus. He is a good friend to me. And I would like you that you take him as your friend. Oh, I met Jesus. He is my savior. Now he has given me peace. I would like you to have him as your savior because he will also give you peace. So all that is there is that it's all about friendship. Yes, it's all about relationship. So that can come out so well when we think of community service. So indeed, community service can be used for evangelism to bring people to Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. So with that, Mfundisi, what are some of those effective ways, you know, to incorporate discussions into hospitable gatherings? Here, you mentioned ACMS, the community services, they are out there, you know, giving out food. Now you want to give us food and give us Jesus. How is that, you know? So how do we best do that? How do you best give people food whilst also including, our faith, our religion, or biblical discussions there?
Thank you for that. Well, Number one, what we need to appreciate is that community service becomes, like an entering word. Mm. It becomes when you are hospitable, you make friends, and these friends can listen to you. And these friends may ask you now, why is it that you are so caring and so loving? What makes a difference in you when people are just selfish and you are so caring in this manner? What is the difference with you? And so because of that, you realize that you're able now to share with them that, oh, you know what? It is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. Oh, I would like to know more about this Jesus Christ. So that's very important. We can have opportunities where, for example, you say, okay, I will be giving free tuition, maybe literacy classes. I'll be teaching for free. I'll be teaching music for free and so on. And this community, they learn something. But in the process, you're able to interact because now you are friends, because now you are able to relate with one another. We can also take advantage of certain seasons that come in life. I'll give you an example. You have seasons such as Christmas season. And this is the time when people believe it's the time to share gifts, because God shared the gift of his son. So it's a time to share gifts. So when you are hospitable, and then people who ask, why are you this loving and caring even to strangers? Then that's when you say, it's because of one who lives in us, and his name is Jesus. Would you wish to have him also as your friend? Would you wish to have him also as your savior? So that it becomes an opportunity altogether. You mentioned things such as meals. People who gather where they're eating from. And when they gather where they're eating from, you know, they will even ask, who are these? Who are giving us this kind of good food? Who are these? You know? Yeah. Because they'll say, we can't see pork on this diet. This is a beautiful, nutritious, and yet very healthy food. Who are these? And just by asking who are these, they are able to now know who the Lord is. I'll give you another example that I saw just yesterday. We had one of our conferences in Zambia called Rusangu, conference. And they gave out, hundreds upon hundreds of seed, okay, bags of seed to vulnerable people in the villages. And they gave them out for free. So the church going into the village and they are giving for free. Yes. We are used that maybe it can be a politician who can do that. And then they ask, which party is this? They say, no, it's not any political party. This is the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Yes. Oh, this church. Yes, 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 yes. And so such a person who you have empowered that they can feed their family tomorrow, such is somebody who is willing to listen to the message.
Yeah, yeah. So Mpundi, how do we now ensure that, you know, our hospitality is authentic, right? We're not just doing it, you know, as a means to an end to evangelism, where no matter what we're doing, if we're going out, for example, for community service, we must always, you know, preach there. And people were like, these people we know, once they come, you know, they're here to tell us about their God. So how do we make sure that it's authentic, saying that it's not just about that, but we do care about your needs?
Thank you very much. I think how we can do it is simply this. We need to know that when it is, for example, community service, we are going to maybe help build a house for a vulnerable person. It's not time to put on a suit and a white shirt and a necktie and then a Bible tucked in, you know, in the back. And then we go there and say, gather here, before we build this, we want to preach to you. No, that is not the best approach. The best approach is to just show them love. Love is a beautiful language. Yes, love is a beautiful language. The best is to just show them love. Yes. And once you show them love, you just work with them. You show them love. You do things, you know, that are to their interest, not to your interest. By that, no matter what, they will never forget you. They will never forget you. Yes. I'll give you an example. When a person who goes to church, this one is already going to church, a person who goes to church and they have maybe different pastors, for example, and then you ask them, who is your favorite pastor? They will mention not necessarily one who knows how to preach, who has a gift of preaching, but they'll mention somebody who visited them when they had a funeral, who visited them when they were sick, who visited them when they were in need. The mission, a pastor who did not just say, how are you, God bless you, but somebody who sat with them and say, what is happening in your life? How are you doing? How are your children? How are your parents? Is there anything we can do together to make things better in your life? So all I'm saying is that it's that one who showed the care, the love, the concern in your life. So that is the whole thing. People, they don't mourn someone when he's dead of the type of vehicle they used to drive. They mourn someone when he's dead of the things they did, of that person, the things he did, acts of kindness in their life. So that's where they'll say something like, oh, he bought me a shoe. He paid for my school fees. Oh, you know what? He paid for my rentals. You know what? He gave me food when I was so hungry. Those are the things that people mention when they are mourning. That tells you that actually it's not what we say so much that he remains in the minds of people, but what we do. The acts of love speak louder than actually a seminar on love.
So looking at Mfundisi, there are a lot of you know, principles and ways that we have learned, you know, from Jesus, and we're still learning. So what are the things we can learn from Jesus when it comes to hospitality, you know, that can help us? I remember the other day someone was like, we tend to forget the Jesus method in whenever we're doing things, whilst that is the best way, you know. So what are some of those things that we can learn from Jesus when it comes to hospitality and when we're doing our evangelism efforts?
Fantastic. Thank you for that. You know, the Jesus method was a very powerful method altogether. And this is where, for example, you see Jesus telling them that let them sit down so that we feed them. Let them sit down so that we feed them. And this was what Jesus would do. Yes, this was what Jesus would do. To say it in another language, I can quote from one book where, you know, it says, the Savior mingled with men as one who desired their good. He showed his sympathy for them. He ministered to their needs and won their confidence. Then that's when he bade them, follow me. So now, this is the Jesus method. This is the Christ method. This is the Lord's method. This is the heavenly method. This is the godly method that the Savior used. What did he do? First, he mingled with them. He was not choosing to say, these are not of my social economic class. He was not choosy at all. He mingled with them. He loved them. There are people who even got upset with him. Oh, look at the people he eats with. Look at the people whom he's visiting the, you know, in their homes. Because he mingled with them. And then he desired their good, not his good, but their good. Yes. And then the Bible is so clear that he showed them sympathy. Yes. He empathized with them. And then he ministered to their needs. Yes. He literally ministered to their needs. Yes. And these needs included their physical needs, included their emotional needs. He ministered to their needs. And it is then that he won their confidence. And then he could say to them, follow me. And they followed. So you could tell even some people that he has healed and say, don't follow me. But they would still follow him. You know? And this is something very important. Of what time, you know, he even said, I know the reason you're following me is because of the food that I gave to you. Okay, but that in itself tells you that people love the person who loves them. People trust the person who loves them. People have confidence in the person who loves them. People, you know, they listen to the person who loves them. So it's important for us to just get this, that this is the best way of doing it, that let us show love to one another. So instead of us just talking about, oh, we have the mark of the beast, we have a sanctuary, we need also to show the love of the Lord in action.
So as we wrap up, Mvundiswami, how can we now cultivate, you know, a mindset that extends beyond our comfort zone and into our communities? Because also now, even with this hospitality, people might be doing it, but they know, you see, if I go to that corner, I'm sorted, I'm safe, I'm everything else. But then we don't, you know, we don't step out of that comfort zone to go to areas where we feel uncomfortable because of whatever reason that is. So how do we cultivate such mindsets?
Thank you very much. The only way that we can cultivate this mindset is to look at the first church. Yes, we tend to the first church because the first church is a beautiful example. The account is there in the book of Acts. The first church is a beautiful example. Now, the first church saw people joining the first church on a daily basis. On a daily basis, they joined the church. So let's go there. Let's learn from the first church. Yes. What is it that we can pick from the first church? What is it that made them to have this boldness, the courage, the determination to go even to those uncomfortable zones to them, to go to even people that were persecuting them? What made the difference? Now, you see, when you look at Acts chapter 4, verse 13, it literally says that when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, then they equally perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled at the works they were doing. But there's also something else in that verse which they observed. This is the community now. The community observed that they have been with Jesus. I want to say that No matter how good we can think of, no matter how good our strategic plans are, if we have not been with Jesus, there is no way we'll leave our comfort zone to go out there and exercise this hospitality, community service, acts of kindness. We cannot do that. The reason is simple. It's simple because man has a nature which is selfish. That's why when a man looks at your eyes, you would think that they are looking at the eyes and they're seeing something in your eyes when they're seeing their own image in your eyes. So therefore, it is important for us to know that the only way I can know that my dear sister loves me. The only way I can know that he loves me is because at least I know that my sister loves God. In other words, that when Sister Zanele loves God, guess what? She will love me because she loves God. If she doesn't love God, it's not possible that she can love me. So let not Sister Zanele tell me, I have spent 40 days in the mountain fasting and yet she doesn't love me. No. That fasting is not worth it. Because when you love God, you will love your fellow human beings. When you love God, you will love everyone created in the image of God, especially those who don't speak like you, especially those who don't walk like you, especially those who don't come from the region where you come from, especially those who don't even have the same beliefs as you have, especially those who don't have the faith that you have. You will love them. Why? Because you love God. Why? Because the love of God is in you. And because the love of God is in you, it will be easy for you to love them. So all I want to say is that if we have been with the Lord, then the love of the Lord shall be in us. When the love of the Lord is in us, then we will love others. Is it not Peter who was taught by the Lord that don't say that the Gentiles are unclean? And that is how they began the ministry to the Gentiles. Paul came on the scene and went on as a powerful ambassador to the Gentiles. Now, these were people that Jews would pray and say, I thank you, Lord, that I was not born a slave, I was not born a Gentile, and I was not born a woman. And yet, because they loved the Lord, now they were able to minister to the Gentiles. And today, even in Africa, we have the gospel because the love of the Lord was residing in them. They can go to those uncomfortable zones for the sake of the Lord and show love and acts of kindness.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. Oh, Fundis, we have learned a lot about hospitality throughout the whole week, and I'm very thankful, you know, that we ended up ended it with this one where we are encouraging people to go to those places and use hospitality as well as evangelism together to reach out. I'm going to ask Fundis that if you can please close in a word of prayer for us.
Thank you so very much. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, we thank you on this wonderful day. And we want to thank you for this wonderful week. How we pray that, Lord, you continue to teach us that hospitality must be our way of life. Continue to teach us the value of hospitality, both to those that we reach out to and to ourselves. Continue to teach us about hospitality, that even men of old, such as Abraham and Lot, they received the angels all because of their hospitality. Oh Lord, teach us to know that we must be the good Samaritans, as in the parable that Jesus taught us. Teach us today, oh Lord, to show this love to one another, to show these acts of kindness to one another, because when we are these loving, then we know that your name will be glorified indeed. Therefore, may your name, God, be glorified in our lives and give us the grace to love one another. And by this, we shall become one and we shall be indeed your disciples because of loving one another as you loved us. Thank you, Lord, for hearing and answering our prayer. For this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, thank you so much. It has been a lovely week having you speaking to us. May you have yourself a blessed day.
I'm really grateful. Thank you. May God bless you and keep hope alive. And thank you for this opportunity.
Amen.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.